Awesome. So are you ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Hi, welcome to Candidate, real conversations with women running for office. I'm your host, Devin Handy. Normally, I host Hellbent Podcast, a political news and commentary show dedicated to bringing you topics with a heavy intersectional feminist lens. I've teamed up with Emily's List to bring you the stories of the extraordinary women running for office in the upcoming midterm elections. These women are smart and fierce and have real plans to change the world. While I normally have two or more guests, this week I only have the one. Gina Ortiz Jones is running for Congress out of Texas's 23rd district. Gina served in our armed forces under the draconian don't ask, don't tell policies. She has a long history in national security and is bringing a fresh and unique perspective to her district. What is really important is that Gina's district has 40% of the borderland in Texas with Mexico. So I knew that I wanted to speak with her about immigration, particularly about how the Republican Party is setting up an opposition narrative to the Democratic candidates running. A lot of times the narrative is Democrats are weak on border security and weak on immigration, and as if that's something of a bad thing. And Gina has really flipped that narrative on its head with her extensive background in the military and in national security. So because her district has so many border towns and relies culturally and economically on their sister cities in Mexico, you know, it really brings a fresh perspective to the immigration debate. Our guest today is Gina Ortiz Jones. She is running for Congress out of Texas's 23rd district. Gina, thank you so much for coming on. It is so nice to speak to you.
Thanks again for having me. It's good to chat with you again.
Yes, absolutely. We were just saying that it's only four Tuesdays until early voting.
That's right. As I tell my team, God bless my team, but I'm like, look, there's no Friday, there's no Monday, there are only four Tuesdays until early voting.
It's so true. So I want to talk to you specifically about immigration. Immigration has been such a hot topic, to say the absolute very least, in this country for a long time, but particularly since Trump was elected, it's become sort of a touchstone of our political landscape. And especially with the congressional races, it seems like a lot of the Republican narrative has been about how Democrats are soft on borders and kind, you know, soft on immigrants and are not concerned about national security. Have you found that to be the case in your race?
I mean, I think, you know, this is for folks that might not be super familiar with where this district is and why this is such a very important topic in this district. You know, this is that district that runs from San Antonio to El Paso, right? And depending on where folks are listening, that's like Manhattan to Raleigh, North Carolina, or San Francisco to San Diego, right? It's a large district. We also share 40% of the U.S. border with Mexico. It runs right through this district. It's a 70% Hispanic district. It's also a 70% rural district. And some of the, you know, main issues as it relates to immigration are playing out in this district. And folks might be familiar with Tornillo. Tornillo is where they're setting up the tent community that was built for kids that have been separated from their families at the border. That's in this district. Immigration is very much, an important topic certainly in the country and in this race. There are a lot of ways in which we talk about it. The wall would run right through this district. It would decimate economies and in many parts of the district. When people also hear immigration, you know, depending on who I'm talking to, they might be thinking, Devin, of the DREAM Act, right? Our Dreamers. Between California and Texas, that's 45% of this country's Dreamers. There's 3,500 Dreamers in this district alone. Folks might also, when they hear immigration, you might be thinking about the effects on trade, right? And the effects on our economy. NAFTA was originally signed in San Antonio which is in this district. So there's a lot of ways in which immigration, touches on all aspects of our economy and of our everyday in this district. But what I'd like to share are, some of the stories that don't get enough attention, but I think are as important as any other in this immigration discussion. But, before I touch on that, if you allow me to talk a little bit about my personal background and why I am personally so committed to ensuring that we have an immigration policy that reflects our values. I'm a first generation American. My mother came to this country 40 years ago. She graduated from the number one university in the Philippines, but wanted a chance at the American dream, right? A chance at a country whose promises, if you work hard, the sky's the limit. And that's a unique promise of our country, right? And that's why it's sometimes disheartening that people have forgotten that for the vast majority of people on this planet, they know from a very young age that if they want to live their best life, they will have to leave their home country. And for many, like my mom, that meant trying to get to our very special country in any form or fashion. So my mom, like many others, humbled herself. She had this amazing college education. Again, graduated from the number one university there, but wanted a chance at this country. So she came here actually as a domestic helper and reminded my younger sister and I every day that our trajectory in life was in no small part to being born in this very, very special country. So, writ large, when I think of immigration and just kind of our country's role and how we're viewed as people trying to come here for a better life, I can't separate, how I think about it from my own personal experience. So I just want to share that with you because I have first cousins that are, just as talented, just as hungry, but have very different life trajectories than my own just because, my mom was fortunate to come to this country and my sister and I were fortunate to have been invested in and invested back in this country in the way that we have through public service. So that's what that's always in the back of my mind when I think of immigration. And I can't also help but think about this in the context of national security, which is my background. I spent 14 years serving our country in national security, both in and out of uniform. I started off as an intelligence officer in the Air Force, deployed to Iraq. I served under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'd go on to advise on operations in Latin America, all over Africa. And I wrapped up my career in the executive office of the president, working on economic and national security issues. And in each of those, in different ways, but in each of those, the idea of a strong middle class, of a strong civil society, the way in which countries rejuvenate and replenish themselves is always at the forefront, right? Because if you don't have a strong middle class, you don't have true national security. And I would argue a strong immigration policy that reflects our values is key to that.
Right. So, yeah. So with your background in national security, has that changed maybe the narrative around the debates about immigration? Like you said, there are all types of, when you talk about immigration, we could be talking about anything from undocumented immigrants to family separation to dreamers to trade. Has there been one thing in particular that has been very salient or very focused on in this race?
I don't think there's been one thing. I mean, it's been a constant topic throughout the race, immigration, that is. But I think, as things have popped up, if you will, we've had to adjust and talk about how those things, affect the border communities. I mean, for example, troops that have been deployed to the border, right? This happened several months ago. So I think it's important to not only think about, the message this sends to our neighbor to the south, who is, oh, by the way, Texas's largest export market, right, the message that this sent to Mexico, but it also sends a message to our border communities on this side of the border, right? Like, what message are we saying about the communities and how we think about them when they actually only understand the social, cultural, and economic ties between them and their sister city on the other side as sources of strength and not sources of weakness? And that's a very important point that I don't think gets highlighted enough. you know, when I talk to the mayor of Eagle Pass, which is a community right on the border, when I talk to folks in Del Rio, when I talk to folks in Presidio or El Paso, they never just talk about themselves, right? Because that would do, you wouldn't truly appreciate the opportunities and challenges if you don't also talk about the other side. So people don't, you know, when they talk about Eagle Pass, they talk also about Piedras Negras in the same breath.
Right.
They talk about Del Rio and Acuña, Presidio and Ojinaga, El Paso, Juarez. Again, the social, the cultural, the economic ties, these are sources of strength. And when you talk to people in the area, they actually, you know, I have yet to meet anybody that thinks a wall would be a good idea, right? But rather, you know, they want to invest in the infrastructure that allows us to be more economically connected, because that actually then allows us the resources needed to invest in things that have, frankly, always been our best defense against anything, which is smart and healthy kids, right? Not a smart wall. So that's unfortunately a part of the discussion that is not highlighted enough, which is, again, the reality of those that are living in our border communities.
Yeah, I think that that's so important. You know, like you said, you connecting national security to a strong middle class, which you could then connect directly to those social ties and the cultural importance of not just the people on this side, but on both sides of the border. And that makes perfect sense. And you also mentioned smart and healthy kids. The last time we spoke, you mentioned that children in your district had higher than average instances of asthma and other problems. So, you know, obviously immigration, especially in Texas's 23rd, which is, like you said, 40% of that border. I mean, there are other issues too. So are there other issues, maybe not more important than immigration? It's hard, you know, one issue is not necessarily more important than another, but are there other things that just aren't being discussed because immigration has taken over the narrative?
Well, you know, it's actually tied to that. I mean, in general, the idea of representation, right? Earlier, what we were talking about in terms of the statistic regarding asthma, 1 in 11 kids in Texas has asthma. In Bexar County, which is where San Antonio is, it's 1 in 7 kids. And in communities of color, lower middle income families, it's 2 or 3 out of 7. And in some of these underserved and medically underserved communities as well, it's actually higher than that, right? So not only is it higher there, but their access to medical care is much, much lower, as is their resources to pay for the care if it is, in fact, around them, right? So that's what I think about as we actually talk about the upcoming census, right? And so when people talk, it's not just about, you know, immigration, it's about all these other policies, all these other ways in which we talk about communities and then frankly how that potentially scares people from participating in the institutions and the processes that are there to serve them. Right. The fact that I have no idea where my opponent is on the citizenship question on the census in a border district, in a district that is 70% Hispanic. I mean, that's very, very concerning, because if people are not counted, they cannot be served. Right. I mean, that's your whole job. Representative is function and title. How can you not have a position on that? Right. That to me shows who he holds himself accountable to. And again, to me, this is about public service, ensuring the public is well served, all members of this district.
Right. And these, like you said, these are all very interconnected issues. And
right,
you can't really talk about one without another, especially like you said, when it comes to the census data, which is very important. We're coming up on the 2020 census. So,
right.
So I think the last thing I want to ask you before I have to let you go is, do you mentioned that your district is 70% Hispanic. Do you find a lot of fear in your constituents on topics of immigration and these other interconnected issues like healthcare and the census? Is there a lot of fear with the way current policy is? And do you have an idea of how you would shift that when elected?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so there's actually, I mean, a specific story about fear as it relates to, you know, the rhetoric around immigration. At the end of last year, I was meeting with the sheriff in Maverick County, and this is a border, county that's right on the border. And he said, we're going to have one of the lowest rates of reported domestic violence this year. Reported is the operative word. We know it's happening. Right. They're just not calling us. Right. And so that's the public safety concern that we all face when communities no longer trust the very institutions there to keep them safe. Right. And so they don't know who's going to show up at the door if they call in about a domestic violence issue. Is it going to be ICE? Is it going to be the police? Is it going to be the sheriff? Who is that? And so, you know, I'm very, so yes, there is that fear that is causing a public safety concern. You know, we also, again, have a large streamer population. And so the fact that, you know, there are some members of Congress that see dreamers as political pawns and not people who we should keep a promise to. We made that promise. We shouldn't break that promise. We're better than that, even if this president is not. So there is, you know, I think there's very much a concern that we need somebody that is going to fight for this issue, right? You can be outraged on CNN and complicit in Congress. That is not how this works, right? Unfortunately, that's how my opponent is conducting himself on this issue. So, you know, I think the folks that I'm talking to know that, you know, the only way this changes is if we have new representation, somebody that's actually going to take the needs and concerns of this district seriously.
Right. And like, I think that's another really excellent example of how immigration is tied to so many more issues than just immigration. And it's a much more complicated conversation that tends to get reduced down in these sort of narratives.
Right. Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, this is about respect, right? This is about ensuring all communities are respected, are heard, their voices are at the table. And, you know, because we're all in this together, right? That's the problem with, that's the problem when you start othering, right? Is you run out of people to other. And then unfortunately that you then start affecting communities in our own backyard. And so, you know, we've got to get somebody that, again, truly understands that these issues are all interconnected. We're all in this together, and everybody deserves to be represented and heard.
Yeah. Well, Gina, thank you so much for speaking with me and for doing this important work. Like I said, I've gotten to speak to you a couple months apart, and I am so excited for you come November, like in 4 Tuesdays.
Bring it on.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Gina is truly inspiring, and I hoped you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Immigration is such a sensitive topic, and I was grateful that Gina was open to talking to me about it because it could be very difficult, especially this close to election time, which is a great segue into my weekly reminder to make sure you're registered to vote. Get your friends and family registered to vote because we are about 4 weeks out from the midterms, and it's going to go by in a flash. So join me next week with another amazing woman candidate and her story and her plan to change this country for the better.